Let's enjoy this ongoing message by Sam Adeyemi.
Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. Are you ready? Let's go. That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We'll title our discussion Mindsets and Marriage. Mindsets and Marriage. I read this story, I've read it a few times now, and it cracks me up each time I read it. It was about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and one of those days, Adam wandered off. He had gone far into the garden for many hours. So eventually, when he showed up, Eve took him up. "Where have you been?" Adam said, "I've been in the garden, you know, I've been walking." It was obvious she didn't believe his story. She said, "You're running after other women." Adam said, "There are no women. You are the only woman in this garden." She said, "No, you're running after other women." So later on, when Adam was asleep, he felt somebody pushing down on his chest. So he woke up with a start, looked at Eve and said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I'm counting your ribs." She wanted to see if another rib was missing. Well, you know it's fiction, but it's illustrative in the sense that what Eve is doing in the story is not built on what Adam did. It's just built on a belief, built on an assumption. Okay? We may attribute a lot of our attitudes and our actions in marriage to the actions of our spouses. But the reality is that our attitudes and our actions are products of our mindsets. That's the reality. A lot of the things we say and do, our attitudes, our behaviors, are actually products of our mindsets. The things we say and how we say them are products of our mindsets. And they are the things that determine whether the marriage is going to be successful or not. We've been building this month on a basic expectation that with the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, with the availability of God's grace, God's divine empowerment, marriage should be better for us. Because we have access to a higher level of wisdom, we have access to God's raw power. Marriage should be better for us as Christians. But what we're discussing today is very critical. How will God's wisdom and God's power have the opportunity to express themselves in our marital relationships? Our thoughts affect all areas of our lives, including marriage. In fact, when you understand Romans chapter 12, verse 2 very well, you don't rise beyond the quality of your thoughts. To alter our lives on a sustainable basis, our thinking must change. It's not a suggestion, it's a law. The quality of your life cannot be better than the quality of your thoughts. Reality is only a printout of the images on the films of our minds. When God wants to change someone's life on a sustainable basis, listen, you can have change temporarily. You can have, but on a sustainable basis. God knows he's got to change the person's thinking. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So for God to intervene, for the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God to find expression in the person's life, the Bible says that the person's thinking has to change. The most effective way to change a person's life is to change the person's thinking. The quality of our thoughts dictate the quality of our marriages. So, I love the passage that we read. Ephesians 4. Verse 22 says that we put off concerning our former conduct the old man. So there's an old man, the old nature, the sinful nature. And Paul the Apostle writes here that we can put that man off, the person we used to be, the one that was corrupt. In verse 24, it says, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. The one that looks like God, the one that looks like Christ. That's the new man. We can put that new man on. The question is how? The how is sliced in between in verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There are some Christians that are so spiritual, they don't like for us to talk too much about the mind. They're so spiritual. And I say, you know what? All of your spirituality will be reality in the spirit realm, but you will be very ineffective in the physical and material world. Because the step-down transformer that brings spirituality realities down to the frequency of earth is your mind. And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So you can have two Christians, spirit-filled, anointed, powerful, with smoke coming out of their nostrils by the fire of the Holy Spirit, having serious problems in different areas of their lives, especially their marital relationship, and the problem will be in the mind, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I remember the story of some elementary school kids, primary school kids, and they were to act out the family. So the teacher chose this boy to be the daddy, chose a girl to be the mommy. And while she was still organizing the other pupils in the class, the girl just held the boy by the collar. Said, you will kill me here today. They had not begun the drama. She had not been told specifically what to do. But the image of marriage that she had in her mind was playing out. Whether you are conscious of it or not, your mind is being programmed. It may be deliberate, it may not be deliberate. It may be conscious, may not be conscious. Okay? And ultimately, you know, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is inside you will come out when the right scenario or opportunity is provided. People say sometimes, it was after he got married that he changed. I promise you, marriage did not change him. Marriage gave him opportunity to express himself. When you squeeze a feeding bottle, what is inside it is what will come out. If it's air, air will come out. If it's milk, the milk will fly out. So what was inside him did not come out because he had not been squeezed. And marriage does a lot of squeezing. Woohoo! Thank you, Jare. That person must be married. If you've been married, you know, marriage gives you a lot of squeezing. If you have anointing for annoyance, marriage will create the opportunity for your anointing to find expression. Okay? So, the dynamics of marriage only provides opportunities for our mindsets to express themselves. When they asked Jesus in Matthew 19, verse 1, is it okay for a man to divorce his wife for any reason? Any reason? Like, I just don't like her shape anymore. After 6 kids. Or, her food is not sweet. There's too much salt in it. I complained and complained and complained. Too much salt. Or, you know, the breakthrough I've been praying for has arrived. I'm just about to be appointed to a very important position, and I need someone that is photogenic. You know, someone that is presentable to go with me, because now I'm going to be holding meetings, you know, all over the world, and, you know, any reason. I'm just trying to help you understand what any reason means. It means any reason, whether it's reasonable or not reasonable. But at least it is reason. And Jesus said, no, don't do that. That was not God's original intention. So they said to him, but Moses said we can give them certificates of divorce. And in Matthew 19 and verse 8, it says, and he said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. What was he saying? That though there are legitimate reasons for divorce, like he said later on in that passage, the systems, the social and legal systems just make provision for the old man to manifest itself. He said it was mindset. It was hardness of heart that was breaking the homes up. That was not the original plan. So today, I see governments all over the world tinkering with the systems, tinkering with the welfare systems, the social systems, tinkering with the legal systems. Almost all over the world now, adultery has been taken out of the legal code or legal codes. Okay, it's almost like a waste of time for the judges. So it's not a sin anymore. Yeah. Because even the judge, maybe. So fine. So now you can take somebody to court, you know, you can go report somebody to the police. That was it means that the person committed adultery. Okay? So fine. So it's okay. But it's not okay. Because the victim suffers. The children suffer. The home is going through stress and going through chaos. So what am I trying to say? For the Christian, okay, for the Christian, we have to realize the old man mindset will not give us peaceful homes. The old man mindset will not help us to have marriage the way God designed it. We need the new man mindset to enjoy marriage the way God designed it. Let me use for illustration one or two important issues that have to do with marriage. The first one, communication. Psychologists say that marriage is probably about 85% communication. That's amazing. And therefore, that if anything goes wrong with communication, something will go wrong with other parts of marriage. Something that's likely to go wrong with finances, likely to go wrong with the sex life, likely to go wrong with parenting, likely to go wrong with relationships with in-laws. Communication. Good. Our communication styles are products of our mindsets. Because Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. How should a Christian speak? How should a Christian communicate? Proverbs 15 and verse 1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. It's amazing. So the communication can dictate the atmosphere in the home. A soft answer can calm the atmosphere. A harsh word can stir up the emotion, stir up anger. Okay? You know which one the old man will do, and you know which one the new man will do. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification or for building up. It says that it may impart grace to the hearers. Amazing. That's how a Christian is supposed to speak. Jesus gave us an example. He said, bless them that curse you. Amazing. See, when a person curses, Jesus said, somebody else may curse. You cannot afford to curse, because what is inside you is what's supposed to come out. If someone is cursing, it's because the person is full of cursing. Since you don't have curses inside you, curses should not come out of you. Only blessing. He said, bless them that curse you. So when someone curses you, he says, you say, bless you, because that's what you have to give. Amen. Jesus said, when you enter into a city, release your peace on it. If you enter into a house, release your peace on it. And if they don't receive your peace, he said, carry your peace and go somewhere else. But what is he saying? That you have peace to give. You can't give what you don't have. So as a believer, he says, what you should release is grace, supernatural empowerment. Okay? So there's a way the old man communicates, and there's a way the new man communicates. And the new man is the one fashioned after the image of Christ. So when you hear, look at you, and you call yourself a man, you call yourself, look at all your contemporaries. They're doing well. You, parasite, lazy man, lazy man. Now, tell me, is that the old man or the new man? Good. So the person that is being spoken to also says, am I the one you're speaking to like that? I'm the one you're speaking to. You called me a fool. You called me an idiot. You said I'm lazy. If I hear another word from your mouth, you are dead. Did you hear me? Is that the new man or the old man? So that's old man times two. It doesn't matter whether you speak in tongues or not. The atmosphere is fouled. And I'll tell you, it's not the Holy Spirit that will operate in that atmosphere. You have demons throwing a party. And it's all a product of mindset. A product of mindset. Because when we're under pressure, then what's in the heart comes out. So, the old man communication style will hurt a marriage. We need reprogramming. The beautiful news is that the human being can be programmed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's where it starts from, the reprogramming exercise. And I'll get back to that later. Let me pick on another issue. Sex. Sex. Big issue in marriage. Our mindsets affect sex in marriage. Why? Because the mind is the most important sex organ in the first place. So our ideas, our thoughts about sex need to be aligned with God's word for us to have peace in our homes. There are old man ideas about sex, and there are new man ideas about sex. If your ideas about sex have been shaped by movies and by novels, don't be surprised if you find yourself doing one-night stands with strangers or being dissatisfied with your husband or your wife, because the people you watch in the movies have perfect chiseled bodies. The guys have 6 or 8 packs with rippling muscles, you know? So, it's very easy for one not to be satisfied when one's spouse does not put up superlative performances in the other room. Okay? Oh, it's amazing. When you watch sex in movies, it's amazing. It's hot, it's fast. It's you hear sounds that make you realize it is wild sex. And the amazing thing is that sometimes actually the people doing the thing actually do nothing. And you forget that for you to be watching it in the movie, there were other people in the room, there were people holding the light, there were people holding the camera, there was nothing. And that's shaping your mindset about what good sex looks and sounds like. And then, of course, yes, then you have the one where people really, really do sex, pornography. And that's even the dangerous part, because if you get involved in pornography, that actually then programs your, sincerely speaking, that damages your equipment. And your most important sex organ is your mind. Pornography actually now damages the equipment. It makes it difficult to find fulfillment in the real thing. You want to be a Christian, and you want to shape your thinking about sex in line with God's word. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Let me read a few verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, in case you don't know where sex is in the Bible. I'll read it from the Message Bible, the Message translation of the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and from verse 1. Good. Very interesting discourse here. It reads, now, getting down to the questions you asked in your letter to me. First, is it a good thing to have sexual relations? Certainly, but only within a certain context. It's good for a man to have a wife and for a woman to have a husband. Sexual drives are strong, but marriage is strong enough to contain them and provide for a balanced and fulfilling sexual life in a world of sexual disorder. There is sexual disorder. Line up with God's way. Verse 3, the marriage bed must be a place of mutuality. The husband seeking to satisfy his wife, the wife seeking to satisfy her husband. Marriage is not a place to stand up for your rights. Marriage is a decision to serve the other, whether in bed or out. Verse 5, abstaining from sex is permissible for a period of time if you both agree to it. That's the condition. If you both agree to it. Once you commit to be married, it is proof you don't have the gift of celibacy. Amen? Amen. Uh-huh. Because if you read further, Jesus explained it, that there are people that were created celibate, created eunuchs. There are people that make themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of God, or whatever reason. If you read further down in this chapter, 1 Corinthians 7, Paul the apostle speaks about it because he was celibate. He was single. And he said, I wish you would be like me. I wish everybody would be like me, actually. It would make your lives easier. He said, but every man has his proper gift. This thing is a gift. So the fact that you are married is already proof. It is not one of the gifts that God put in your life. So stop pretending. After you have gotten married, to now receive an anointing to be celibate. Something is going wrong somewhere. Okay? Good. So I read verse 5 again. Abstaining from sex is permissible for a period of time if you both agree to it. And if it's for the purposes of prayer and fasting, but only for such times. So it's not like there's actually a broad list of topics that you can give as excuse, or reasons that you can give as excuse for not doing the thing. No long list, only prayer and fasting. And even that prayer and fasting by agreement. So if somebody is asking for it and you say, well, I'm waiting on the Lord. You are not waiting, your waiting is canceled. See, it sounds funny, but you need to realize how frustrating it is for the Holy Spirit when he's put the manual down there and he wants to help us. He knows, he designed us, he knows the best way for us to function, and we choose to go with some other idea. Something daddy said, something mommy said, something a friend said, something you heard from Bear Palo, and something somebody watched from the movie, or something somebody read from a novel and didn't realize it had gone in. Your ideas about sex, where did you get them from? So he says, abstaining from sex is permissible for a period of time if you both agree to it, and if it's for the purposes of prayer and fasting, but only for such times, then come back together again. Satan has an ingenious way of tempting us when we least expect it. I'm not, understand, commanding these periods of abstinence, only providing my best counsel if you should choose them. Thank you, Lord. So, there's the old man mindset about sex. There's a new man mindset about sex. And the new man, he said, is created after God in righteousness. The more we become like Christ in our thinking, the more things work out in all areas of our lives. So this is my advice, because somebody's asking, so how do I change my thinking? Number one, line up your thinking with God's word. That must be your first objective. Line up your thinking with God's word. You have God's nature already. Aspire to think like God. You will not get God results until you think like God. He says in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, for my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. Aspire to think like God. You will produce God results. Spend time in meditation in God's word. When you read the Bible and take time to soak in each word, each verse, each sentence, each story, visualize what you are reading. Apply what you are reading to your life. Superimpose the biblical scenario on your own situation and circumstances. You will see where the gaps are. With a commitment to line up our thinking with God's word, I prophesy the heavens are opened over you. Amen. Divine intervention shows up on your behalf. Someone gets a job supernaturally in the next 7 days. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, there is restoration of hope, restoration of dignity, restoration of honor in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Any negative word ever spoken against you is canceled now. I pronounce blessing on you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The days of strife are over, and every spirit of strife is cast out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I pray for the person in this service who says, Pastor, pray with me that God should forgive me my sins. My relationship with God is not okay. If you are that honest person, can you please put your hand on your heart? Sin is man's greatest problem. And it is sin that describes that old man nature. Every human being is born a sinner. Gratefully, God sent Jesus to die for our sins on the cross. He died a shameful and a painful death when he had committed no sin. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So God credits his death into our account. We receive full pardon from God. If you're that honest person who wants us to pray together for forgiveness of sins, can you please put your hand on your heart where you are? God bless you. You may even have said the prayer before, but if so, backsliding into sin, you're not absolutely sure you will make heaven now. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus. Can you also put your hand on your heart, please? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Someday you hear the truth, you make a choice. God shifts things in a big way in all areas of your life. Please say this prayer after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for everyone who said this prayer. And thank you because we know now they have received forgiveness of sins. Above all, the nature of sin is removed from them. Now you put your own nature in them. And that's the greatest miracle of all. So we pray with them, Heavenly Father, that you teach them to know you. And that you teach them to love you. That you teach them to serve you the rest of their lives. In Jesus' name.